watch has ended. All hail Bran the Broken, ruler of the Six Kingdoms, protector of the realm, and the life of parties. We are back once again to analyse the finale of perhaps the greatest show in the history of television. It's our Game of Thrones player ratings. If this is your first time listening, please be sure to hit the subscribe button. You can find us by searching The Rewind on all good podcast apps. If you're already a subscriber, please, please leave a rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. I'm your host, Mark Farley, and once again, I am joined by the Lady of Lofty Titles, Chloe Gilday, and the Master of Grammar, Donny Mahoney. Guys, before we go any further, I want your one word rating out of 10 for the episode as a whole. Chloe?
Oh God, that's such a massive question.
That's too many words already.
Donny, you go first.
Divisive?
Out of 10.
You said one word.
As in the word being a number.
You didn't tell me what the other 10
So we're
words.
Just rating the episode out of 10?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. That's different than what you asked. 6.
I'm going to give it a 5.
Ooh. That was very low. Mm. Like, what were your issues with it?
It's not that I had issues with it. And actually 5 might be a little harsh, actually, just after saying it. But usually when a show ends, you're like really emotional or you're really like, God, I can't believe that's over, whatever. I was so underwhelmed. Just with nearly everything that happened, it was just an overarching feeling of being underwhelmed. Near the end, I was watching it with a group of people and I could just see people dropping off like as it was going on. People were starting to kind of talk a bit near the end and I don't know. The whole thing was just very overwhelming or underwhelming, should I say, sorry. All very like tied up in a bow kind of ending. I don't know what I was expecting instead. I just thought there might have been a bit more action or to have a bit more of a Game of Thrones-y end, you know?
Yeah, it seemed to end about 5 times as well.
Yeah, like...
The thing I thought watching it, I was thinking, I've watched it twice and I was thinking, looking at it going, this is good. Yeah, this is good. I was watching it. But then the fact that I was thinking that it was good proves that it wasn't good in a strange way.
Yeah,
in that
yeah.
If a show is actually great, you're engrossed in it and you're not analyzing it and seeing, I wonder what the reaction to this is going to be, and is this going to go the way people are? You're actually just going, jeez, I can't believe that happened. Or like, you're emotionally involved in Danny being killed,
exactly.
Or Bran becoming the king, but you're just kind of.
And
like,
I didn't shed a tear. I thought I'd be really upset when people were dying, or like certain characters would go. I literally didn't cry once. I cry very easily at things like this. I didn't cry once, which just proved to me that I wasn't emotionally invested in any of them for this season. I've cried in past seasons, like over people dying. I don't know. I just wasn't. It was just really underwhelming.
I thought the first half of it was very good. Like I was very. Speaking for myself, I was very engaged with all of the sort of fallout to the battle and what was going on with Danny and how John was gonna, what choice he was gonna have to make.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I thought that there were so many like really well done scenes, but then, you know, there's a second half, the episode pauses and then you go into all of the sort of just the show trying to reconcile itself and end. And
you're trying to tie up everything so quickly. And
that didn't really work for me, but I thought that, you know, the dramatic stuff was really quite good. But
there's a lot of very good scenes, actually, dialogue wise. Like there was so much dialogue in the first half that I thought was actually really good as well. Like what Donny was saying is really interesting. But yeah, I think it's just the second half. Like I said, people I was watching it with just started dropping off. Like I could tell they were just losing interest. And I felt like that as well. So yeah, I don't know. Everything was just kind of tied up in a little nice bow.
Yeah,
wasn't
it, at
the end?
It is weird though that, like, in one way we give out about the fact that, oh, it's just kind of tying everything up and it was weird, that kind of way. But another way, when the show ends, like, people, the first thing they'll do is like, well, there'll be memes going around, like, whatever happened to such and such? And where did such and such go? And, oh, we didn't even get, like, you know, what's her name? I can't remember her name, from Dorne. L something,
oh
or
God,
other.
I'm
you know who I'm talking about.
Very terrible with the name.
The Princess of Dorne, who was taken prisoner by the Lannisters.
Oh yeah.
When Euron Greyjoy captured her, and it's like nothing. No one ever figures out what became of her. Did she just get killed in the Red Keep in the coup? But so things like that. So imagine if they just left like some storyline open. I don't know what became of whoever. Mm-hmm. We'd all be given out here. So it's hard for them to win. The damned if they do and the damned
if they
don't.
Listen, it's the same with every TV show. People hated the end of The Sopranos, like, and it's like the most amazing, perfect series ever. But yeah, I think just the overarching problem with this whole season was it just all felt very rushed, packed in, like, I don't know. So yeah, it was just a little bit disappointing, but still a great show. I mean,
Is overall. There a problem with it being so all-encompassing in terms of that there was, obviously you got the books, you have such a big backstory before it ever begins. Then there's so much time between like each season and especially coming up to the last that there are all these like fan theories on the internet. There's so much, it's almost like there's an extra, it's like if you look at it, like before you just had a TV show and maybe, you know, you're sitting at a pub or in a, so somewhere chatting with your friends and you're speculating about what might happen. But with Game of Thrones, it's like the perfect example of the internet where there's memes straight away after every show. There are these massive Reddit threads with all these theories. There are people putting out alternative endings. I've seen, you know, like simple things, like, you know, paragraph and a half. John should have done this and that should have been, that would have been a much better ending. That it suffers for that because you can never live up to people's imaginations. There.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, it's also the great success of the show that has spawned so much fandom and conjecturing and all these kind of things. But it, like, ultimately the show is what it is, and like, I don't know, I think whatever, like when the show ended, I think everybody had that same kind of, and it was maybe happening in real time, like you were saying, people just kind of checking out as it was going along. And I don't know if that has much to do with the internet or I think people want, I don't know, people really wanted so much from it. I think that's really the problem, that like people have this sort of, the show set itself up for these crazy expectations, I guess just by being such a good show over so many seasons.
Yeah,
and
I would agree.
How do you wrap that up? How do you conclude all these kind of things, given the tight window it had given itself? I don't know how anything would have really been satisfying other than like kind of everybody dying somehow. I think that was sort of like the...
a big one for people. Yeah.
When Sam suggested the possibility of democracy, I was like, yeah. Oh, holy Christ. Oh, don't tell me they're going to turn the biggest that. Joke.
My boyfriend was like, do not tell me this is how they're going to say democracy if we can.
Because like, that was the one joke we all had got into it. It's like the Monty Python thing we mentioned a few weeks ago. Well, I didn't vote for you.
That's diabolical.
It's called analysis.
No, that's not analysis.
It is analysis.
That was already in the can waiting to go out.
Yeah, good.
Let's get into our player ratings. Who are we going to start off? We'll start off with Daenerys. She had a short performance this week. Donny, what would you give her out of 10?
I'd be around 8 or 9, I think. Really strong. Just kind of terrifying given the speech. And also, I mean, what a speech she gave to the people there. She, you know, she stands on the steps. Great, great sort of power in those lungs that everybody could hear her for miles, you know.
Yeah, that was that was surprising that they could all hear her. But
it was up there with like Sean O'Gohalpin's All-Ireland speech from 2004 or 5 when, you know, he really captivated the nation. Yeah. I think it was kind of a speech making that we haven't really seen in the show much, kind of passionate and getting the blood boiling. But, all you know, like... wasn't in it so much either in a way, like, you know, but I think that, you know, that speech, her dismantling Tyrion, and then that quite strong scene that which is ultimately her death scene, where Jon confronts her and, you know, she's just sort of eyeing up the Iron Throne. You just got to feel bad for her that she just didn't have the presence of mind just to sit down on that throne for like 1 second.
Yeah.
She just sort of hovers around it. But I thought, like, you know, with a very difficult job, she was both convincing and compelling. So I would have, you know, I think everybody wanted a bit more from her, like that the show would have given her more. But, you know, when the little droplet of blood runs out of her nose, I thought that was pretty moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you. It was a great speech, but giving her an 8 out of 9, I think, is a disgrace. Like, okay. She died. She got killed. She let her guard down.
Well,
she was...
No, her guards let her down by just kind of abandoning her. Where were they? How did they just leave that room unguarded?
Her obsession with incest led to her demise. If she wasn't shifting John up close and personal... she'd still be alive. She spent 8 seasons trying to get to the Iron Throne and then got killed within 2 minutes of getting to it. Also, she admitted to having severe problem with numbers. Could barely count to 20, she said, as a child. Like, I don't know if that's someone I would have wanted to be in charge of 7 kingdoms. Would she be able to count to 7?
Well, I don't think that should have affected her. That was an error in her past that shouldn't really affect her rating for this particular episode.
Well, her death should, though. Surely the fact that she's dead... In terms of a performance, dying before the end of the match.
Well, getting murdered by her lover is
pretty unfair. Yeah, I was going to say, I'd be on Danny's team here a little bit. I thought Danny was fantastic in this episode. Her speech was unbelievable.
Mm.
It also showed us that she's an absolute, like, she is a war criminal. Like, that's what she is. And that's what she was always going to be. Like, overarching disappointment for me in general that that's the direction they took her in, that, like, you know, she had to be a mad, I don't know why they had to make her crazy, but anyway, I thought in this episode I thought she was great.
Yeah.
She kind of explained why she did what she did also, which everyone was waiting for and dying to hear too. So yeah, and I thought her scenes were great. Her scene with John was brilliant, I thought.
Yeah, I could maybe come down to a 7 maybe, just for getting killed, but I mean, you've got to trust, I think the really the blame is with probably Grey Worm or these guards of hers with their long spears. I mean, where did they had followed her out from the speech, where did they go as she disappears?
There was an awful lot of people walking around going like, what were they doing this whole time? Like, what was Donnie doing? She's not hanging out talking to anyone. Yet it took her so long to actually get to the Iron Throne. Also, Grey Worm was in the street with John, and then John went walking to find Dany. And when he went there, when he found her, she was standing up on the steps with Grey Worm standing beside her. And it's like, at what point did Grey Worm overtake her on the way there?
I think she's probably like in a little cubby hole, just like doing social media posts, like lining up some Instagram things for everybody. Like,
we hashtag did. Blessed. Couldn't have done it without you.
Can really see in her face also when she saw the throne and everything, like, that is all that she wanted. Like, nothing else mattered. That's what she wanted. And I thought that was really clear in her, in her actions in this episode, and her face, and the way she just turned around to John and was just like telling this really whimsical story, and he's just like, you just murdered everyone, what are you talking about? I thought she was great. And did we like her death? Were we happy with how she went out from the show?
Well,
I think it was more, and again, this is that probably people are going to, you know, people will criticize the show for it, but it's just the fact of it that it was more about John than about her.
Yeah.
So, like, they pretty much sacrificed her already as a key story figure. Mm-hmm. And this was more about John's battle with, internal battle with what he should do, whether he should allow her to live. Like, Tyrion talks about, you know, that the way he has the ability to choose. Mm. Then I presume that was the trigger for him with Dany when she said the same. But it's a sad way for her to go, in terms of that it was a bit understated. You know, she didn't go out in a blaze of glory or anything.
Yeah, I know.
But I think it was more
so built up for so many seasons. Yeah. Like, I
thought what annoyed me more was not her death scene, but the fact that then if it is about John, then go all in on it. Don't have it be about John and then have him the next scene. He's just like, oh yeah, Grey Worm took him as prisoner there a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Kind of the show is about Tyrion, which I don't know.
Just yeah, he ended up being kind of the main player of the whole thing.
Speaking of Tyrion,
yes,
he ended up being the main player, but what did you give him out of 10 for his performance in the finale?
I don't know if I do this game right. That's this whole thing.
We've
right
explained here it numerous times.
This is your second appearance, you have to know. Yeah,
I know. But I was like, ah, sure, I like him though, you know, like, okay, I've given Tyrion a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
I give him an 8.
You give him an 8. Okay, no. Yeah, so I was kind of between 7 and 8. I think Tyrion was really great in this episode. He stood up for himself and for everything that he believed in when he, like, just wandered up to Daenerys when she's in the middle of her whole thing. I was like, are you crazy, man? She's in the middle of her insanity. But yeah, I thought that was really great and very Tyrion of him, because we hadn't actually seen that. Like I was saying in the last episode, he was being so like, I love you, queen, I'll do whatever you want kind of thing. And so to see him kind of stand up for what he believes in with her was really, really refreshing. And he knew that he was done for, like, as soon as he threw the brooch thing on the ground, he was like, he knew what was going to come. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm. So Tyrion, I just thought he was kind of like the voice, he came back into that voice of reason type character again, because again, we'd kind of lost that a little bit. So I thought his scenes with Jon were fantastic. I just thought he was really, really good. And then the fact that he kind of had that whole speech as well about who was going to be king next, the fact that he kind of took on that role was like he's a prisoner. Like, Grey Worm just let him do whatever he wanted there for that scene, which was a bit strange as well. But Tyrion as a character, he kind of again started, like, got back to where he started, and like had that meeting at the end with all the lords and ladies and everything, the advisors. I thought that he ended really well. They finished him really well.
I agree with all that. I thought it was a really return to form for him.
Exactly. It was like his comeback or something.
Exactly. And you think that the show started with him in such a prominent position, it's ended with him pretty much in the exact same place, despite the fact that he killed his own father, convicted of killing his nephew, and committed treason.
Oh, and actually,
he still landed on his feet.
His scene where he found Jamie and Cersei, I thought was really, really amazing and emotional and really sad. Yeah. Because we all know Cersei was obviously, you know, not a lovable character for a lot of people, and she was awful to Tyrion. But he, seeing him kind of get so upset over the two of them, I thought that was really, really good as well.
Yeah. Really good, but doesn't affect his play rating all in all.
I know. This is what I'm talking about. I'm too emotional for this.
I don't have a rating for Tyrion, but I have a rating for everyone who listens to him, and that rating is 3. This guy has gone around just screwing up decisions left and right. Ends up in prison, convicted of treason, basically. They have no other ideas. All of these people, all of these wise men, the only people left who have any power in the world. And they're like, we have literally no idea what to do. We have no plan. We can't figure it out. Well, let's get that guy back from prison. And whatever he tells us to do, we're going to do. Like, surely somebody has a bit of brains in the planet left. Like, it's just so frustrating that he's the only person with any bit of an idea or any bit of like, well, I'll just do this. And they're all just like, well, look, this guy, he screwed up loads of times in the past, but look, that idea sounds all right. We're going to back him.
That's what I mean about him just being like the one who's like, we must choose a king now. I choose. And they're all just like, okay. Like, you know, it's just like...
Yeah, you can't fault Tyrion for it. He talked his way out of prison. He talked his way out of
a death
sentence.
But that's his character. And that was always his character, was like... And until this season, kind of early on, he just went into this, I don't know, crap version of himself. Whereas I thought this episode he was, coming back into what he was before in previous seasons. Mm. I think I gave him, 7. Is that what we decided?
I'll go with 7. I'd give him an 8. But if you want, I'll allow you to say, I'm not too posh about this one. I did think his motivational speech kind of to John as well was great.
Yeah.
But it was kind of ironic.
Yeah, given like their that scenes
were fantastic. Varys gave him the exact, like, the roles were reversed. Varys was trying to convince Tyrion of this, not 2 episodes ago.
Mm.
And now Jerry's doing has flipped, and he's the one trying to convince John.
Exactly.
You've got to also, like, the prison guards in these shows, what are they doing? Like, they all get play ratings of 1 or 2.
Oh,
they're consistently, not just this season, but going
not
back.
Not up to par.
They just, like, let anybody into prison to have a chat. Like, any kind of plans could be hatched there. What's the point of being in prison? You might as well just have them out of prison.
Yeah. I was comparing it to Line of Duty, where it's all, you know, this person made a visit to a prison. What did you say to that prison to that prisoner and all this? And there's all the different dockets you have to sign getting in, and there's CCTV footage.
Game
and all
of
this.
Thrones to get as many visitors as they want.
Just go on in there, whatever you want. To
your story at the door.
Have a little chat there. So yeah, I think 7 out of 10 is fair for Tyrion. I think he went out well.
I've given a lot of high ratings to people I've discovered. I've just looking back through it, I'm like, Jesus, this was there were a few stellar performances here, but I think none more. And this maybe. Is it bending the rules a little bit because it's not just based on last night's episode? But Sir Davos, now Lord Davos, I have given him a 10 out of 10.
What?
For last night?
Just for surviving.
No, well, yeah, there's multiple things. One for surviving, right? He came in, Liam Cunningham came into this as a minor character who I think we all, for the first couple of seasons he was in, probably didn't even realise was in it really. You're just passing no remarks of him. He was Stannis' assistant or cheerleader. He's played the role of assistant manager brilliantly to various different managers. Now, you'll see a lot of people, you know, that are married to someone for their whole career, like TC and Mick McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
But Davos, you know, he's worked well with Stannis. He's worked well with John. He's now working well with Bran. He has no fingers. Let's not forget that. The man is a smuggler with no fingers. Yet, he has survived. He went wielding a sword round King's Landing when Daenerys was killing all before. He survived that. He twice in the show there could have been re-raw August Rula Bulia if it wasn't for Davos in the last episode.
I don't know
when John and
I'm sorry, I don't know what re-raw Rula Bulia means.
It's something in Irish that means uproar.
Right, okay.
But weeping and grinding of teeth. He stopped 2 potential civil wars there, and nobody even noticed because that's what Davos does.
But Mark, this episode.
Yeah,
I got so much shit last week for doing this wrong.
These are all jumping down my throat.
And now you're doing the full show review.
You're all jumping down my throat and not realize and proving my point by doing it. He stopped 2 potential civil wars in this episode, and nobody even noticed it to the point where you're giving out to me about it.
Go on, which ones?
John and Grey Worm. at the start, you know the scene where he's about to execute the people, and John's like, you can't do this, Grey Worm, blah, blah, and they're all pulling out their swords, and Davos is like, hold on a minute, put your swords away, blah blah blah, we can sort this out, talk it through, whatever. He calms the whole situation down. John or Grey Worm could have died there very easily, and there would have been a civil war. Mm-hmm. Then when they're all meeting in the Dragon's Pit, and again Grey Worm starts to lose the run of himself, and he's shouting, Tyrion shouting, they're all shouting. Davos is like, hold on a minute now, settle down everybody, we've got to talk this through. Twice he was the actual voice of reason in this. He kept calm, and he was a real politician, I thought. He's grown in from a smuggler to one of the most eminent politician in the Seven Kingdoms.
He's just the lad at like a training practice when there's a bit of argy-bargy, blows the whistle and goes, stop lads, take a breather. That's it. He's good. I'm not trying to knock him. I mean, I love Davos. He's a great character. But 10 out of 10, I think. I think saying that he stopped two civil wars, I think you're going a little far. You're pushing it a little bit out there.
There were potential.
If you want to say, look, the Lord of the Meister of Grammar, whatever that is, I'm behind you. That was his great moment there at the table with Bran and these guys at Bronn, and they're just having the chats. Love him in that role. What was his job? Lord of Ships.
Lord of Ships.
Lord of Ships for a man with no fingers, I'm telling you, and a smuggler. And of course, he deserves to be Lord of Ships, because as we pointed out last week, he got the dinghy for Jaime. Yeah. And all Jaime was expecting was some sort of inflatable thing. Yeah, and he got him a proper boat.
Serious boat.
Look, I just think, yeah, I think it's a bit more, he didn't, I don't, yeah, I would be sort of 7 or 8, but 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I think, especially because I didn't really even remember what he did. You had to really explain that there for me to remember.
But that's why he's such a good politician.
That's 10 out of 10.
But that's, you know, he is the
Liam Fernandinho. Cunningham can get a 10 out of 10 because he's a legend.
Yeah, he's the Fernandinho of a team where he's just in the background just doing that. He's the Makaleli role.
I think if you're doing overall for the show, I could see him being sort of a 9 or a 10 over the whole series. I think he's one of the better characters. But I just think this episode didn't have too much to do. You know, he's kind of riding on other people's coattails in a way. He's not doing a whole lot in these battles, you know? Just kind of hanging behind Joe. Like, if John ever wanted to, like, get physical with these guys and start fighting the Unsullied, like, he'd be gone in 2 seconds.
He's too busy saving women and children, as we saw last week. Look, I'll give him an 8.
Fine.
But I'm going no lower than 8.
Fine.
Okay.
We'll give you that one.
It was a weird episode in that there weren't actually that many characters that were heavily involved.
Yeah.
I suppose we need to rate the Starks. Mm-hmm. We have another big Stark coming down the line. But mm-hmm. just in terms of Arya and Sansa to begin with, they both survived for a Stark, but what would you give them out of 10 for the performance overall?
Which one are we starting with first? Arya?
Let's go with Arya first.
Yeah, let's start with Arya.
I would see her as, she didn't really have much to do considering, like, it just seemed like when she was kind of shuffling around there, as John was making his approach up the stairs, that she would be much more involved. She realizes her dream of working on boats and being a sailor
so
for her life.
Random.
That's clearly just setting up a spin-off. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. I don't know where you would dock her points, like, if she loves boats, then fair play.
What's west of Westeros? She's going to end up in Leitrim or Roscommon or someplace.
Yeah. Craggy
Don't
Island.
Don't go there.
Craggy Island. Father Arya.
Yeah.
Father Arya.
It's hard to knock her. She's a great character. But
I thought she did well with Yared Greyjoy, who obviously a veteran of many wars now. Has survived a lot of things, and I just shut her up straight away.
I'll
slit your throat. I was like, Jesus, that put Yara in a place. So, like, because of that, because of the fact that she, you know, she's gotten a promotion now to captain or pirate or whatever it is, I've given her a 6.5 out of 10.
Yeah.
Didn't have much to do.
Again, they kind of built her up to be something, and then she just wasn't really in it then for the last one. So, like, everyone thought she was going to be the one to get Danny.
Yeah.
And then she was in the episode for about 5 minutes.
I thought she'd be involved with the dragon as well,
somehow,
maybe.
Yeah. So, I did like her scene when she was saying bye to John. I thought that was nice. Her little one tear.
And also
really nice.
Good preparation. As she said, she had needle on her person.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, she's always keeping one eye open.
Yeah. But I did think the fact that she's just, like some kind of Magellan type. It was just like so random, I thought. But like you said, it's clearly for some kind of spin-off or something. Yeah.
Dora the Explorer.
Yeah.
Sansa, her sister.
One of my faves for the whole show. I love Sansa. And kind of disappointed that, again, she... I kind of thought... I saw an end to this show as being something... I actually thought Jon might go for a hike. And that's it might end with some kind of Dany Sansa going to war type thing at the end, and that would be the end of the show. She didn't get a lot of airtime in this episode. I think her like being queen of the North and everything makes total sense as well, because she should be a queen. So that I was happy with that. I did love when they were talking about Bran and she just like outed him for not being able to have kids. Like everyone was like, Bran's so great. Yeah, but like, you know, we can't have kids. It's like, Jesus. Yeah. But yeah, like again, it's kind of hard with Arya as well. A similar thing. Like, I suppose like a 7.
Ooh, I'd given her a 9.
Yeah, 7, like 8 or 9. Yeah, 8 like maybe.
You're leaving out one of the real important bits here, where it's like everybody, we're talking about Tyrion and we're saying, look, why are people listening to Tyrion? Sansa didn't listen to Tyrion.
She was having none of shit. That's very true.
We should have sent her to negotiate the treaty.
Yeah.
But she was having none of it. She was actually, do you know what? Yeah, you be king down here, but I'm having none of this shit.
Yeah, and it actually did show, because she was the one that told Tyrion about Jon as well and all that. So she knew, she never trusted Dany at all. So she knew as well deep down that she was not the person to be supporting. Overall, I think in the show, Sansa was fantastic. But again, it's almost like I wanted her to have a bigger ending or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was one I was like, right, look, she's done everything. If you were a Northman, a Northerner, I suppose.
Okay.
A man from the North.
Man or woman of the North. Okay. Or gender neutral of the North. She did everything properly there. She went down to King's Landing. She'd come back going, I'm after getting us independence. And like did it, she like not betrayed, but you know what I mean? She turned her back on her own brother to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to say that's a perfect performance, 10 out of 10. The reason I docked her 1 point is because after everything that's happened, when she was getting crowned in that scene where it was cut between her, Jon and Arya, I just realized this woman, like, all right, she's Queen of the North, but what sort of life has she got? Well, she has no friends.
Yeah.
Everybody her age is either dead or is now left. Mm-hmm. Where is she going to find a husband?
But out of all of them, she was always really dedicated to the North. Like, she was always about the North. Yeah. She was like her dad. Like, she was really about the North, I felt. So I think she doesn't care. Like, to her, keeping the North independent and looking after her people is like number one. I don't think she cares. She doesn't have friends.
Just to pick up on your point there, Mark, I think like the overriding message of the show is like, it's much better to be single. Like,
probably.
Like, don't get engaged. Don't get hooked up. Don't hook up. Don't have relationships. Because it's like the last, like that last montage, it's Arya on a boat on her own, the Queen of the North with no kids or family or partner or anything like that, and no prospects of one either.
I was gonna say, they kind of give the impression she'll just be like that forever.
Every lord in the North seems to either be 60 years old or 5 years old.
And then John's on his horse kind of riding into whatever that place is called, beyond the wall, and you know he's going out with wildings. He's probably pledged himself to chastity again now that he's back in the Night's Watch. So like, the show is just saying, look, the heroes of the show are the people who don't get kind of caught up with emotions or have like husbands or wives, which is kind of a weird message from any kind of show.
It's a bit strange. But Arya had the option of Gendry too, and she knew straight away. She was just like, that is not going to happen. Like, sorry. I think that's a fair enough thing to say. Stay single.
I think I said, and I say it again, I think he's been shown to be out of his depth. Way, way out of his depth.
One of the people who surprisingly played a key role in the finale was Grey Worm. I mean, I did not see how much of an effect he was going to have on the whole outcome of it, particularly for John. Donny, what did you think of his performance? In terms of, from the eyes of Grey Worm, did he do well?
Well, he survived. So, unlike his queen... I guess survival in this sort of episode or in this season or the series is you know, it gets you somewhere, so at least 5 or 6. But I don't know really what, like, he was thrust into a very important role that I don't think he was really ready for. I don't think he probably had, you know, the experience at an elite level of sort of management really to handle that. And I mean, the fact that he kept his army together and got them all back at the end and were departing and leaving One Piece, I guess, you know, that's good. But like some of the stuff, I don't like what the Tyrion kind of, what he's doing is sort of bringing Tyrion out there, what he thought was going to happen in that sort of scene, what he was trying to get out of that whole kind of conclave with all the guys together. I don't really know.
He was kind of just supposed to be, I think, a bit of a representative for Dany, wasn't he, after she was gone? Like, he's just supposed to be that side voice for the episode. I did like that he is keeping his promise to Missandei and going to, how do you say it? Nath,
I think so, yeah.
So yeah, I thought that was a nice way for it to end for him as well. But yeah, like you said, it was very, like, suddenly he was just really important in this episode.
It's also weird, like, I mean, you would think in that power vacuum that maybe they'd have some sort of military coup and say, like, we're loyal to Dany Targaryen, or Daenerys Targaryen, we're going to keep ruling in Iran or whatever. But I suppose it's indicative of how he has been, someone has been his master all his life.
Exactly.
He's gone from being a slave to really just Dany telling him everything to do.
Yeah, he's used to following someone. Yeah.
So then he was just kind of like, I don't know what to do here. Here, someone pick a
king.
Leader so
I need someone else to follow.
Bit of aggro there in the beginning as well. Probably was unnecessary taking out those defenseless soldiers.
Yeah, that was awful.
But what did you give him out of 10?
Like six.
Yeah, I suppose it's 6 or 7. Like, I mean, let's be honest. Does anybody care? Mm. None of us care. Grey Worm is so irrelevant until he goes and sends John to the north for the rest of his life, which made no sense, but we'll talk about that in a while. I'll go, you know, an old six that, you know, was one of them. You didn't really know him for much of the game, but
six is fair.
A few more here to rattle through. Brienne didn't really feature long enough to be rated, but I suppose we give her a 7 for her entry.
I really liked that though.
Did you?
Yeah. I don't know, is that just me liking the kind of romantic side of things? Donny is about to explode here.
No, I think there's two different ways of seeing that scene. Like, she was very forgiving and, you know, she only highlighted the positive things about Jamie. She's basically editing Jamie's Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
And
his bio.
Like, she got some nice armor at the end. She got a good job promotion. I'd give her 7.
Just so difficult in this episode because she just wasn't in it. Yeah.
Like, there's a couple here as well. Like, Gendry, probably not long
literally
enough to be
didn't
rated.
He did not say a word. Like, I think you saw him for 3 seconds.
Yeah, just sitting around. Podrick did what he did. He wheeled in in Bran.
Did a good job of it.
Yeah,
that.
Exactly. And also, he seems to have been, I don't know, was he knighted before? Or was that just, they said Sir Podrick? I think that was a little hint.
I think it happened somewhere in between. Did it?
Who else have we got there that didn't really play much role? Tormund. Good smile on him. Wonder how long he was standing there waiting for those gates to open.
It was nice to see him though. We missed him there for a couple of episodes.
Is he coming yet? Obviously kept Ghost safe with the looks of it. Yeah, so that's all good. Yeah. And I know it's probably the least likely spin-off to happen because I know Kit Harington is probably the one person who himself and Emilia Clarke really don't want to be involved with it anymore. But The Adventures of John and Tormund Beyond the Wall would be a brilliant spin-off.
Meeting giants and hanging out
maybe
with
the Night King coming back or something.
Yeah, the Wildlings in general, that's where I would like the show to go more. Yeah. Like, if we're going to go deeper into the universe, it's just like, you know, the Wildling pubs, the Wildling nightclubs.
what they do on their weekends.
Yeah,
it's
a
shame because, like, Hound would have been brilliant up there with the Wildlings.
Oh, yeah.
I also thought
Arya would have had a good time as well.
What was the name of John's Wildling girlfriend too?
Egret.
Yeah. That Egret. I actually believed a hell of a lot more in that love story than I did for Daenerys and him. Like, I just thought that's who he was meant to be with, and he's kind of a Wildling in ways himself. So I think that you
Tormund
could do
said.
Some, yeah, exactly.
We give Tormund a 7, even though he did feck off. Sure, everybody likes him. Yeah, a couple more here to get through. Bronn, Dany, a strong, strong performance.
Oh, I think you've got to say
Bron.
9, maybe.
Yeah,
I love Bronn so much.
I mean, if we're talking about the arc of the show, like with Davos, like, I mean, how that this guy, this sort of miscreant, has ended up.
Sellsword.
Yeah, has basically ended up, at the sort of top table, making decisions about the fate of the realm is pretty incredible. Played his cards right all the way through, and here he is. Like, and best of all, he doesn't change when he's around there, when he's talking to the Lord of the Boats or the Lord of the whatever. Hands or whatever. You know, he's
the Lord of Hands.
Lord of Hands.
He's saying, look, don't forget the brothels. My constituency is the brothels.
He's such a legend.
And the brothel people. I'm fighting for them. Yeah. Whatever about the boats and the hands. Keep the brothels open. Build the brothels back. And that was, I just thought, like, very
and
true.
Someone made him the master of coin.
I was about to say, it's actually, I forgot this in terms of that this was Tyrion's, probably Tyrion's decision. And that should, it should be Dr. Point, because there's two things that we know is that Bran loves brothels. Or Bran loves brothels. Bran doesn't. Bran loves brothels. But also, he loves money, and just because somebody loves money, it doesn't mean that you should be put in charge of it.
Yeah. Like, you're clearly going to be dipping into it like the whole time for his brothel addiction.
I think we see season six, speaking of Line of Duty, season six of Line of Duty is going to be political
corruption.
Stop
talking about Line of Duty, Mark. Oh my God. Obsessed.
Look, it's the mashup I want to see.
Imagine that would be great
in the same universe.
There were a couple 12 thrown in there somewhere.
There are a few more as well. Who did I look here at? Edmure and Robin Arryn.
I had to be reminded who these are.
So Edmure Tully, Sansa's uncle.
Another great Sansa moment. Shut the fuck up.
Oh, yeah, exactly. She shut that down.
You have to commend him though as well. He spent most of his time being the joke, the butt of the joke. And again, even there he is the butt of the joke. He obviously got stuck with the phrase when Rob decided to upgrade on his potential wife. Mm. Then he was taken prisoner. He spent, everybody's like, he's one of the, as I was saying earlier on in the show, but if we don't tie up all these loose ends, he'd be one of the memes going around going, whatever happened to Edmure? And he's landed on his feet. He's back. He's a lord now. He went for it. You can't fault his balls for going
his
for
confidence
it.
Was yeah. sky high.
Mm. His great appearance.
It was weird seeing him again.
I don't know if anyone's ever watched Outlander. Have you ever watched that show?
No.
Is he in that?
That actor is in that, and he plays a completely different character. And it was a payoff in a few different ways, because I've watched Outlander in between seeing whatever. When he hasn't been seen since, what, season four or five or something?
Yeah.
So just bizarre to even place different guys from different shows. So
he was in something else as well, some English cop thing, and I can't remember which one it was, but he was like a totally different character in that too. He was a real noble kind of security type character. So yeah, it was funny seeing him. I actually totally forgot who he was. Had to be explained to me.
But you'd have to knock him for, I mean, he didn't get the speech done. You'd have to, he couldn't be really more than a seven.
Yeah,
Sansa completely give him a seven. Ruined him like the moment. So
and also Robin Arryn, I mean, has happened to that man?
I 100% needed to be reminded who
that,
this guy
that
was.
Boy who became a man.
Disgusting. Do you remember him before?
Like, I mean, Tormund
he was a horrible
talked about
character.
This. Tormund talked about this, about being breastfed up the north. And there's clearly an argument there that this could be a good idea, because, I mean, you talk about Sansa not being able to find a husband. She was kind of romantically linked with him.
Hey, she's not looking for a husband, Mark, okay? She's not looking for
husband.
No,
but I meant like just for her own, you know, someone to see, you know, see her days with.
Yes, yeah.
And
yes.
She would have, we all scoffed when Littlefinger was trying to set her up with Robin. But Jesus, I tell you what, now you'd be looking at him, you'd be taking a second glance at him.
Was he not just really lanky?
Google him there.
I'll have to have a look. I didn't really remember
He's
him.
Like that lad that, you know, when you're doing like the junior cert and everybody leaves for the summer and then suddenly someone's come back and they've just turned into an adult.
He was like one of those like Instagram like 10 years ago, 10 years
now
thing where it's like, wow, how did you do that body transformation?
He was a horrible character as a child though, wasn't he? He was horrible.
Yeah.
So
he was disgusting.
Yeah, he was gross.
It's incredible how he turned out the way he is.
Gross.
But look, we didn't get to see much of him. We don't know. Maybe he's still disgusting as a person. What would you give him out of 10? I'm going to give him a 7 as well.
Really?
Yeah, 7, 6.
7 for looks alone.
Sure, yeah, okay. Mark fancies him, so he gets a 7.
Yara Greyjoy.
Yara, yeah.
She got put back in her box.
Yeah, like Yara was always one. Another one, because I'm obviously all about the strong female characters. Loved Yara for ages, thought she was great. And then in this episode, I just thought she was like kind of an idiot. Like, the thing about, she made some joke at Sam, or some jab at Sam about the democracy thing, didn't she? Is that not how she became the leader for the, like, did they not vote her in?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the people of the Iron Islands.
Yeah. Yara, shut the hell up. Like, you love democracy. That's why you have power. So that kind of annoyed me, because that was just a complete contradiction. And then she tried to be all hard and, what's her name? Arya just completely put her down.
Yeah.
So I gave her a 3. Even though I loved her for all the other seasons.
Yeah, and also when you look at what Sansa was able to achieve by demanding independence for the North.
And Yara's just like, I'll just stay quiet over here.
The Iron Islands, if they're ever a more rebellious crowd, I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know of any.
Yeah, she just went so not tough in like 3 seconds. So yeah, 3 out of 10. Disappointed.
Also, strange. Well, I suppose her allegiance is to Danny. I mean, you would imagine that it would have run deeper. I know that Danny obviously played a big role in her getting, not her being freed, but just in terms of the going up against Euron or whatever. But their links to the Starks go back further. You'd imagine, I suppose she did agree to Bran in the end, but she was a bit kind of like, whatever, when she was thinking, when they're talking about Jon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because she was like, let him rot because I love Danny, basically. Yeah. I didn't like that. 3 out of 10.
The animal ratings, Danny.
Okay.
Donnie's fave.
Your fave.
Okay.
Ghost and Drogon.
Okay, I'm going to start with Drogon because I think there's probably more to say about him. I mean, you got to give Drogon, I would say probably 10.
Yeah. Agreed. Like,
I mean, he's got more sense than any of the people in the planet by taking out the Iron Throne. Huge drama, huge speculation. What's going to happen when he finds his dead queen lying there? Is he going to take out Jon? You see the fire coming down his neck. You think something bad's coming. Instead, he shifts his gaze, burns the Iron Throne down. You know, says to the people, look, I'm going to get rid of this throne. You guys need to sort the rest of it out. But once this throne is out of the way, at least we can start to think about what a kind of a fairer, more equal, less violent world will be like.
He gets symbolism, guys.
Yeah, he
really went from dragon to John Oliver in about 2 seconds. He was one of the great political commentators of Westeros history.
Yeah, I thought his everything that he did was fantastic.
And then, he could have taken John out afterwards.
Yeah, he didn't.
He's just like, I'm getting out of here. I'm done with this stuff. I'm done with your stupid...
Taking me, ma'am.
Exactly. I'm getting out of here.
The only thing I would say, and you're giving him 10 out of 10, is that you give out stink about the Unsullied guards.
Yes.
And allowing that, Daenerys was betrayed by the guards and their negligence as much as anything. Drogon just let Jon waltz in there.
Great scene as well when he's sort of asleep and he lifts his wings and then all of the ash kind of goes up in the air. Mm. He had a moment. He looked him in the eye. He looked Jon in the eye. And Drogon thinks, I'm going to trust you here.
And was he wrong?
He was wrong.
I mean, he took the high road because he could have just murdered Jon as well. And he didn't.
Mm.
He just said, end all of this crap, like you were saying. And it was just like, get rid of that throne. You're all killing each other over this.
Do you think Jon knew when he went up the stairs that that's what he was doing?
I think so. I think he was premeditated.
He was trained, I think he was going one last attempt to talk her out of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
but then she was just, he knew as soon as she started talking back, he was like, oh, there's no talking to this one.
Yeah.
So I think he kind of did go in knowing that 90% chance he was going to have to do it.
We're settled though on Drogon 10 out of 10.
I'd say 9. He does have to take some criticism. Yeah. Like, he is basically like her security dog.
Did we like the scene where he like took her away? I thought that was like a Disney film or something. I don't know why it was just real.
There was
a corny, cheesy feel to the whole episode, but I thought that was like fairly cheesy as well.
I did like the bit where he's kind of like nudging her, trying to like,
that was sad. Yeah, that was really sad.
The rest, like, Jesus, the Iron Throne didn't see it coming.
Yeah,
it really didn't see it coming. And it was one of the great metaphors.
Yeah, I didn't like the scene, and this isn't Drogon's fault, when the lads afterwards are just chatting about like, when where are the dragons? Where is this guy? And then they're like, oh, he was last seen in, and then your Bronn doesn't finish his sentence, I think, maybe Bronn talks over whoever knew, and it's just like, come on.
Yeah.
Just tell us what's going on.
Oh, I thought you were going to say whenever Bronn was like, maybe I can find him.
Yeah, well, I think that...
I thought he was going to do...
That speaks more about Bronn.
That's more of a Bronn
thing. Yeah. I'm king. I'm going to spend all my days looking for a dragon.
I think
everything down.
Again, like, seriously open up to spin-offs of some kind of Drogon.
Moving on to Ghost of the Dog. And that would be great if it was just a show
just
about
Drogon.
Him. Yeah, and his, like, adventures.
Well, he's gone off to become... I'm half expecting him to appear in RT's election coverage this weekend. Because that's, he's much more wise than many of the political commentators we have in this country.
He's a lot to say.
Yeah, that's the spin-off.
Okay.
the Today Show with Drogon.
Here's Noel Whelan and Drogon. Okay, I'm going to move on to Ghost. I thought Ghost, it was sort of redeemed Jon in a way because he got to finally pet him. He didn't get his ear fixed.
No, look at that's he's the Mick Foley of Game of Thrones. What that man didn't do for the sake of our entertainment, for his brethren.
I guess for loyalty, he stayed with him, and there is he's there by John's side even after John abandoned him. So I think you probably have to give him 10.
Yeah, I think we're all agree.
Yeah, he's just
10.
Lovely.
Yeah, the true king.
Indeed.
There are a couple more. We forgot about Sam.
Okay,
what would you give Sam out of 10, Donny?
I would think, okay, Sam's big moment here. Comes up, invents democracy, has it left, thrown back in his face. Democracy is a good idea. You have to give him credit for inventing it. Gets a really cool suit.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. His new outfit was great.
Orders the Song of Fice and Ire on Amazon and has it to sort of like distribute.
Yeah.
So.
Also, a really good big proponent of the idea of fresh water. So, like, not only democracy, but also fresh water systems. I mean, this man is ahead of his time. Mm.
Didn't get to see Gilly or his kid. I presume they moved to King's Landing with him.
Fine. Yeah,
got a promotion. I mean, I just don't think he's really ready for this maester role yet. When they're having that kind of council meeting, it reminded me of when an Ireland manager would get sacked, and there'd be a lot of retirements after the Denmark game, and then you have the likes of Callum O'Dowda and Alan O'Brien just sort of starting in the Ireland team. They're not international caliber players.
Yeah,
but we need somebody to lead the team, so we'll just go with these guys and so I thought the likes of Bron and Sam were they were out of their depth in a way.
For a massive, massive world, as we've been shown so often throughout the series, it really did end up being you lads are in the room, so you be the small council.
You'll do the job.
But I suppose he can grow into the role. Callum O'Dowda has grown into the role.
That's true.
Obviously he's going to be a Premier League player probably next season. No, the same can be said about Sam. Maybe we'll see him ended up at West Ham or someone.
I thought Sam could have made a stronger case for Jon Snow, not going to the Night's Watch. He knows all this history. He's his best friend. He doesn't even really seem to even think of him in that sort of big gathering. It doesn't even come up. They're just he's going and he's a prisoner. Let's just leave it. And
he's also the first person to second the Bran idea.
Yeah.
Which is you only know Bran 5 minutes. Sam, and he's also a rival of yours, really, because you think you're knowledgeable, but he has all the knowledge.
Exactly.
And you knowing that he has all the knowledge knows how useless he's been with it so far. So why are you nominating him to be king?
Good point. Six?
Yeah, a six. And a generous six.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I have two that I want to quickly go over before we get to the highlight of our show, which will be John and Bran. But Dothraki, first off.
Right.
Okay.
I don't even know what to rate them here. I just had written down what the fuck, basically.
What do you mean?
In my notes. First of all, we should have seen that Daenerys is definitely the Mad Queen from the start. They're going around on these horses, all the roaring and shouting. They're mental. We all know they're mental. But we seem to put that aside for a while because we're like, oh, well, they're following Daenerys and Daenerys is great. No, they're batshit mental. Yeah. And they've always been mental. Secondly, how is there so many of them? We saw them all get decimated.
I know.
In the long
that was a big problem
for me too. Yeah, we saw them all get decimated. Then we saw the next episode how many of them were left. There were barely any. Mm-hmm. There were a few rows of them. And now there's back to being thousands of them again.
Yeah.
They're absolutely mental. And then also, what are they going to do now that Danny's gone? You just see cuts to a scene where they're walking up along the...
I was going to say, did they show where they went?
They were just, when John was walking along the harbour, there's just two Dothraki lads walking around up the street having a chat.
So they
it's just, like they just went, oh, well, should we settle down now, I suppose? After
they
all
just
these
live
years,
in King's Landing as well.
Yeah, just having the crack.
Yeah, no, that's...
So I don't know what to rate them. I don't know if... They can't leave King's Landing because they're afraid of water. So they're stuck there forever. And they seem to just be settling down now. And go, right, well, I suppose we'll just become civil servants and set up a family.
Have we ever seen a Dothraki woman?
No. Well, not since they left Dothrak or whatever that
is. They seem to be able to multiply without women somehow.
Yeah.
I think they've invented cloning.
Can I just go back? I forgot an animal rating.
Go on.
This is kind of related to the Dothraki. The horse that had collected Arya at the end of the previous episode.
Yeah.
Literally
nowhere to be seen.
No explanation. Yeah.
Just gone. Mm-hmm. I guess you'd have to give it a zero because it just rode off. It actually didn't take Arya anywhere and just went on its own way. So.
Yeah, I thought it was going to become much more of a character for this last episode. Yeah, unfortunately not.
Yeah, there's like a lot of arguments going, right, well, they were right to get rid of all the prophecy stuff. Not right to, but you could see why they had to, because one, it ruins the surprise of the show. Like, if everything just that was fulfilled, you know, all the prophecies were fulfilled. And also some of the fantasy stuff, you know, was very hard to do. But why tease people? Why have Arya ride out on a horse, a white horse, like the prince who was promised, mm-hmm. and then the next episode just have it be completely irrelevant?
Yeah, unusual.
I don't know. It was just a way to end the episode, I guess, the last one. But yeah, disappointing. He could have been something great.
And lastly, I want to talk about the sound effects guy. I don't know who he is, but I'm going to give him a shout out. I thought he was 10 out of 10. Not realistic in any way, but if you look at when John and Grey Worm were arguing, and Grey Worm was about to execute someone, John's a good 10 yards away from Grey Worm when he eventually slits that soldier's throat. Yet you can hear it somehow. I don't know how. I don't know if... I presume I haven't slit someone's throat before, but...
Good to know.
Yeah. I don't think a knife...
I don't believe you.
A knife cutting through skin is going to make such a noise. And it actually caught my eye. I was like... Or caught my ear,
cut your
I suppose.
Ear?
Yeah. I was like, Jesus, that was a very loud slit of a throat.
Yeah.
Fast forward 5-10 minutes. John Shifton... Daenerys, and all of a sudden, once again, you hear a whoosh.
Like, oh, yeah.
That sounded more like I shouldn't do it. that sounded more like John stood on a piece of rubber or something.
Boing.
Boing. Swing, barbara. Anyway, you heard the knife sound effect, and you're like, oh, he's killed Daenerys.
Can I just say, related to this guy, I mean, in the same orbit,
yeah.
The garment makers, the dressmakers, and the dry cleaners of the Seven Kingdoms, who worked through a war and consistently had great clothes and new clothes for the leaders of these places to wear immediately after the battles had been fought. After Daenerys wins this big battle, she does this huge costume change, gets this crazy leather thing that looked really cool. And like these people, you don't ever get to see like a look inside like the leather haberdashery that would be going on in King's Landing. But the dressmakers they're working around the clock. They're doing great work.
Yeah, 100%. Like that dress that Sansa had at the end as well. You saw the work that went into it just to get it on her. Never mind to make it. And also John's coat when he comes back and he's
got his coat.
So yeah, I think 10 out of 10 for both the sound guy and the
costume,
the dressmakers of Westeros.
Or not even the costume people, the dressmakers.
Yeah, but you're saying when he concentrates on something, he's good at it.
How do we know he's going to concentrate?
Well, we don't know, Eamon, but we don't.
Why are we giving him the job then?
Well, hang on, he hasn't got the...
Sorry, okay. Sorry, John.
Right, so we've kept everybody waiting long enough. These are the two big ones.
Yeah.
We've got the two Starks. First cousins, kind of get along, but who, as much as anybody could get along with Bran. First off, we go with John. Out of 10, Chloe, what was your rating for John?
The pressure for this. I've given John a 7.
Okay.
7?
Yes. Okay, and I don't know
Safe ranking.
I don't know how you guys are reacting because you're being very blank-faced.
Tell us more.
Holding it back there. I really was not a fan of John for this whole season, actually. Like I said in the last episode, I thought he was really disappointing. He was like a sniveling little weasel with Dany, and I hated that. And even in this episode at the start, I was like, John, don't do it. Like when he was like, yes, but she's my queen, even though she murdered all these people. Like I was like, oh God, they're going to make him into this. Like this is going to be how he ends. He's going to be this like blinded idiot for till the end of it. But then he absolutely redeems himself with killing her, which was what needed to be done. And also the fact that he was like, cool, I have to go to the Night's Watch because of what I did. He kind of, again, it's like him going back to where he started. He's also going back to the character that he used to be, which was always kind of sacrificing himself for other people and just being really noble and all, and what's the word, like honorable or whatever. So he kind of won me back a little bit in this. His scenes were fantastic, like the Tyrion scene was brilliant. You could really see how upset he was about the whole thing and like how to make this decision. Like you said, when he went into Dany, we don't know if he was like definitely going in there to kill her straight away, but he was definitely fighting with it in his head and was trying to talk her around and everything. So he did end up being kind of the hero that the show had set him up to be as well in a lot of ways. But I think it's really good that he didn't end being the king, you know, like because that wouldn't have been very Jon Snow either.
Yeah, I was surprised the amount of doubt he had throughout, like I thought witnessing the battle on the ground, he would have been much more like, okay, this is definitely genocide. Yeah. Like, she's crazy. Yeah. We gotta...
But that's what I mean at the start. I was like, John, are you kidding me? Like, when he was still trying to kind of say to Tyrion, oh yeah, but she's my queen and nobody has a choice. It was kind of like... He wasn't happy about it, though.
And then after the whole killing and everything, you know, he still seems to be a bit like, was that the right thing to do? I don't know.
Sorry, yeah, I did like that, though, because, again, that's more the fact that he was so in love with her, I think, that he was like, it feels so wrong to do this, but he did do it for the good of everyone in
the Westeros. He was like Sean Kavanagh dragging down Conor McManus straight in front of goal. You could see he didn't want to do it, but afterwards
he knew it was the right thing.
You know, should I have done that? You know, like, people are saying to forget about me as far as I'm a man. Joe Brawley was Grey Worm.
Exactly.
But no, it was for the greater good.
But such a Jon Snow thing, again, like, he doesn't really want to do it, but he knows it's the best thing for everyone else, you know? So I think they brought him back to the character that he's supposed to be, which I was kind of happy about as well. But again, like, the fact that he kind of had a dark enough ending, like, he didn't...
I thought it was a happy ending. I thought there was a smirk on his face when he was up there. Like, this is where, as Tormund had told him, he belonged in the North.
But he didn't end up like King of the North or on the Iron Throne or any of that crap, because that would have been really annoying. So I kind of like that he ended up back at the Wall and with the lads, you know, like, so yeah, I gave him a 7 out of 10. I think he really redeemed himself in this episode.
I agree with 7. I think that, like, in the way Donny had said about people who listen to Tyrion, I think the treatment of Jon Snow deserves a 0 out of 10 from everybody else. But
leaving,
I thought for him it was
rot.
I think I would have thought even if they had released him, he probably just went, screw this, I'm going to
gone off anyway. Because he never wanted the throne.
But he should have been allowed that opportunity.
Yeah.
He is the one true heir to the throne.
Yeah.
And
everybody's just like, no.
I was going to say, that was the other thing. Like, he just was given that for no reason. Like, that didn't even play into it then at the end.
There's never even an option, just because Grey Worm had, like, put his foot down about it.
So that was clearly only introduced to make Dany crazy. That whole thing. Because it didn't mean anything by the end of it.
Like, it's like the old people have hidden talents and they could do whatever. Like even if they do it somewhere where, like, he's never going to go forwards, you know, and say, oh, I deserve to be the thing. But if they're all sitting around going, like, well, who should be king? And it's like, John, he's like, well...
Well, he is the true heir.
It's like, what credentials do you have? Well, I suppose I'm I'm a Targaryen, actually. I'm
the
Aegon Targaryen. I can fly dragons. I can.
But it's like they're just like,
dead.
It's Jon Snow. He'll just do what we say. It's grand. Do you know?
I've
like,
fought the Night King multiple times.
Yeah.
I've been the King in the North. I've been the King beyond the Wall, kind of.
Yeah.
I've been the Lord Commander of the Night's Watch.
Yeah.
I've got Stark blood. I've got Targaryen blood.
I died and came back
to life. I've killed the Mad Queen. I've lived twice. Yeah. I've seen death.
Yeah.
But
so he kind of got treated.
Yeah, no, Bran there. So Bran has much more credentials than me. He's sat around for a while and he looked through the eyes of a crow. I've never done that. I've been a crow.
But in saying all that, I still think I would have been dissatisfied if he had, like, ended up the big king, because I just think that was kind of an obvious way to go as well. So I do like that he went back to where he kind of started and stuff.
Would have liked it more if he was like, I'm done with this place. Like, I'm using my free will as a character.
That he wasn't sent there.
Exactly, that he wasn't just, like, basic... Like, it wasn't some sentence that actually suited
banished
him.
Is it definitely... This is something
because he deserved that. Like, he deserved a choice,
at least. There's something, though... I don't know, maybe it's just me. Like, there were a few of them up there, but I was wondering, does the Night's Watch actually exist? Or, everyone's like, oh, why does the Night's Watch exist? And they're sending him up to the Night's Watch. But when he went up there, Tormund's there waiting for him. All the wildlings are there. There seems to be a handful of men in black. I'm not even going to say Night's Watchmen, because maybe they're not. Like, was it the thing that Tyrion sent him up there knowing that he was actually sending him to freedom rather than sending him to the Wall?
Wasn't the Night's Watch just to watch out for the Night King?
Yeah, that's what everybody's like. Why is he going up to the Night's Watch? Why does that even exist anymore?
I think it was more just a way to keep him alive and just was like, this is what we can do. But they did say that that's still where they send bastards and criminals and whatever. So... Mm. It's obviously still a place where bad men are supposed to go. But yeah, like, I doubt there'll be a lot of work to do up there.
It's going to be a lot of, if he is up there, there's going to be a lot of politicking, because I presume he's going to go straight for Lord Commandership. And they're going to be like, who the hell is this guy? These aren't his old Night's Watch pals. They're all dead.
Ending was ambiguous, but I thought he was just like, not even going to be in Castle Black, and he was just going to live rough.
That's what I thought. That was like, that the Night's Watch was all a ruse, that it doesn't really exist anymore, that he didn't really have to join at the very least, and he's just gone.
The Night's Watch seemed like kind of like an Irish pub version of, that like, you might find in like Lanzarote of a real Irish pub. That like
go on.
Explain that.
So it was like, there was it, by all appearances, it was the same thing as an Irish pub or the Night's Watch, but actually it was just like a bunch of people who were just a bit mad, who were just kind of hanging out there because the place had some kind of reputation. But like the law and order, like the rules of the Night's Watch seemed to make they might not exist. It was ambiguous. That's what I interpreted.
You had a lot of wildlings there who didn't really belong in Castle Black, and they're probably making, you know, we've got these, this, we've got pints of Guinness for you here, you Night Watchmen, and we heard you like it, and then they give you this slop of stuff.
Yeah.
You're like, that's not how we like it. It's like, oh, right, well, yeah, very much like a shitty Irish pub.
Thanks for that. Thanks for helping that metaphor work, because I needed that bit more work.
Look, we've got to get to the serious.
Were we happy with John though overall then?
Yeah, I'd give him, like I said,
because we weren't delighted with him for this season, were we, overall?
He did the right thing in the end, though.
No, yeah, I would agree. Like, if you, for the series, or for the season, I'd give him like a 5 or 6. Like, I don't know. I think there's issues with the show. Like, a lot of the show's issues kind of fall onto him a lot.
Yeah,
but
But they kind of maybe had to make him like that in order for him to redeem himself, you know? Like, he wasn't going to be a hero all the way through the season if... Yeah, I don't know.
I don't want to be a hero.
I don't want to.
Speaking of people who don't want things, Bran seemingly didn't want to be king. He didn't want to be lord. He couldn't be a lord of Winterfell because he can't be a lord because he's a three-eyed raven. But somehow he's allowed to be a king.
I know. Yeah. I know.
But that being said, I have him down as 9 out of 10 for last night. In the eyes of Bran, it was a stellar performance. For him, he sat through the whole thing, let everybody kill each other.
But what?
Yeah, he did nothing and then got to be king. Yeah. Surely that deserves a massive rating. Yeah.
When you talk about the eyes of Bran, though, were you talking about like a pigeon or something that he's in? Like,
who knows? Whatever form
the
he's
dead,
taken
dead
on.
Eyes.
Yeah.
The artist formerly known as Bran is now Bran the Broken, which Tyrion, I'm giving Tyrion a 4 out of 10. I don't know, I can't remember what we gave him, but screw that, because he's had so many ridiculous decisions. Making Bran the... Yeah, we said, oh, it's a return to form for Tyrion, and then he met Bran the Line of... Or the
Lord of Coin. Master of Coin.
Yeah. He has come up with the nickname Bran the Broken.
Like, picking so
somebody's
sensitive.
Worst trait. It's like, Mark the Balding. Like, Bran the Bandaxed. Like, what a ridiculous decision to come up with. Surely you can see Bran the All Seeing, Bran the Knowledgeable, Bran the Broken, Bran the Nolan.
Bran the Broken, yeah.
I saw that on some meme as well. I was like, Bran the Wheelie Wheelie, No Legs Wheelie.
Oh, jeez. I'm glad we got to this point with Tyrion that he was doing at the end, it was terrible. Like, he's just ensured that, like, this whole thing is going to be happening again and again and again and again.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to Bran's performance, though. Aside from the fact that he didn't go, do you know what? I'm not accepting this nickname.
I don't want it. Yeah.
I guess you have to kind of look back on all the Bran episodes and say, because he seemed to know all along that this was happening.
Oh, he absolutely knew what was going to happen.
Yeah. So we've been very harsh on him over the run of this podcast, giving him zeros and ones. But I think we probably have to revise them all and give them all. Like, he was everything he was doing was getting him to this point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, he looked very smug there when he was like, I knew it all along.
Yeah. Why do you think I've come all this way? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He also, Bill Simmons used to ironically call him the king of comedy. But he cracked 2 jokes in this episode.
He's going to get better at it.
And also with Tyrion, where he's like, he's made hundreds of mistakes and he's going to spend the rest of his life fixing them. And finally someone's acknowledged that Tyrion's been an idiot.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about Bran, like the whole thing. They didn't like deep dive into that whole thing enough. The fact that he's the Raven and three-eyed Raven, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like, his role just wasn't explored enough or something. It's like, sure, I knew this had happened, so grand, I'm the king. Like, it was just, I don't know, there wasn't enough backstory or something for me with it, or there just wasn't enough to it or something. And they were just like, yeah, sure, he's the easy choice, we'll pick him. Like, I don't buy him as a king, really.
It's bloody Tyrion with the, who is a better story than Bran the Broken? I'll tell you who, Aegon Targaryen, protector of the realm.
Yeah.
Sansa also, in fairness, like, Sansa's had an amazing story too.
Arya,
like,
killed a Night King.
Arya's had a fantastic story. Bran basically fell out of a window, was crippled, became the three-eyed raven. That's it.
Would have died except that his friend had pulled him through all the snow and all that.
Yeah,
time.
Yeah,
and
that wildling girl. Wasn't it wildling girl?
Yeah.
Or Reed.
Something
Mora Reed.
Yeah, something like that.
Mirror Reed.
relies on Hodor to sort of save him many times. I mean, I guess it's a good story, but there's better stories in the show. There's better stories in his family.
Yeah, way better. So yeah, I thought it was a strange.
And how could you have a king who knows the future? I mean, that must be so annoying. So it's like you're trying to say no, I don't think, king, you should go to that battle. And he goes, no, I know we're gonna win this battle, we're gonna go fight these people. Yeah.
Also, even if he knows you're gonna lose, because he's not allowed to interfere, he knows. He's like, Asher, we're gonna lose this one, but go ahead anyway. He'll just know everything.
I want to know that this money's not been wasted. Yeah. Mr. Master of Ships Davos is like, well, should we ask Bran if it's about to be wasted or not? But does he really know the future? Like, this is still up for debate.
But that's what I mean. They didn't explain anything.
I've seen an awful lot of people about this giving out about, oh, if you know what's the future and blah, blah, blah. If you knew the future, this is all going to happen. Why didn't you just say, you know, maybe kill Daenerys there because she's about to massacre her? It's still not. Why would I have come here? But like, that's just him being a bit smug, assuming that they're going to ask him to be king. It doesn't mean that he necessarily knows he's going to be made king.
I don't know.
Fucking Conor McGregor making all these assumptions and then he's wrong on a couple of them. I was like, actually, no, we can't.
He's actually just hoping for
it. He was just hoping. Making ballsy predictions. Speaking of ballsy, though, he ain't got no balls. Well, working balls, according to Sansa. Like, there was no need
ruined
to throw that shade
him.
On.
Absolutely ruined
That's
him.
The older sister shade.
Yeah. Yeah, but he can't have kids, so it's like, whoa, Sansa.
I just give a player rating to the guy who was the bald guy who was sort of like covered in blood and at the beginning of
the
episode, and who was just doing that straight walkthrough? Give him an 8. He was good.
Good stuff.
After a night out.
Are we agreed that the brand's 9 out of 10?
I think he has to be very high.
Yeah.
It would be very hard to like. It's like if somebody won the World Cup, you know, if you were to say, like, after
Greece winning the 2010.
Euros. Exactly. Like, I mean, how they got there was ugly. 2004 Euros.
2004, yeah.
Like, that, it was grim to watch, but, like, you know, the ends justified the means.
He literally won the Game of Thrones. It was what the whole thing was
and
about.
He did the
and
least.
He won it.
He did the least
sat
out of
back
everyone.
And just went, so I'm.
Never put his life in danger. Yeah.
Also, this might be a stupid question, but do you remember when what's his name, Varys, was writing all the notes?
Yeah,
that never like came up either.
He mustn't have actually sent any out. Everybody thought that
so it was just
to
show that he was going to inform everyone. Because I assumed this is, remember we predicted that last week. That's him telling everyone they're all going to come and
all knew and just didn't give a shit, because there were plenty of people at that meeting who knew and they didn't give a shit. Sam, Tyrion, Sansa, Arya, Bran, nobody spoke up for Jon.
Poor Jon.
Grey Worm decide everything.
Jon, always the bastard.
On that note, I think we will leave it there. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. And thank you, Chloe and Donnie, for joining us. Have you any closing thoughts on the show?
My question is more like, what is the next thing that we'll be able to do player rating reviews for? So please, listeners of the show, let us know what you think we should be talking about next.
Yeah, the rewind rates. We will be back, of course, every week. But we are going to rate everything and anything. So it was Game of Thrones for the last few weeks, but we're going to be rating the best Father Ted episodes.
I was going to say, it can be vintage shows too, right? Yeah. Like stuff that hasn't been on the air for a while. They're always the most fun.
Exactly.
Because everyone's seen them all.
It could be the best ice creams, the best biscuits to have with tea, whatever you want. Be sure to subscribe to The Rewind. You can search The Rewind on all good podcast apps. You can also find us on Twitter at therewind.ie and, of course, on alltheballs.ie. Social media channels. But until we speak again, thank you for listening and mind yourself.